The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If someone claims to be a believer in Christ, but they're living in sin, and God says he chastens those he loves, but we don't see it, should we say things like, well, there's no evidence that they're born again? How should we think about this? Thank you, friend, for joining us today here on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are a focused free grace ministry, and you can learn more about us at faithalone.org, including about our free online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree. And there's lots more at that website as well, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
We have a question from Nick, and I'm going to summarize it, but he's talking about the chastisement of God. And tell me if I'm summarizing the question in a good way here, Catherine. But basically what he says is, okay, the New Testament teaches that God chastises believers when they, well, we'll just use the word backslide, when mm-hmm. they sin.
When we fall into sin.
Yeah. Right. If we see somebody who for a long period of time is living a sinful life and we see no chastisement in their life.
And they once professed faith.
Right. Right. Yeah. These are people who claim to be believers, or maybe they still are claiming to be believers.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So they're claiming to be a believer, but they're living in sexual immorality, mm-hmm. open sexual immorality, and we see no chastisement in their life. Can we say then that they are not a believer?
Yeah, that's a good summary. In a way, it's almost like a reverse. You'll know them by their fruit.
Yes.
You know, you'll know them by their chastisement.
If they're not chastised, then
that proves they were never truly saved, because if they were, the Lord would intervene and punish them for their sins. Yeah.
Right. And we can think about some examples in the New Testament where he might point to these examples. For example, in 1 Corinthians 5, mm-hmm. you have a guy who's sleeping with his stepmother, and Paul says, I'm going to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Now, my personal opinion is that's probably his fleshly desires, but the implication there is that something's going to happen to him.
It's not good.
It's not good. Yeah. And I guess most would say it'll be obvious.
Another really obvious one would be Ananias and Sapphira and Acts, right? I mean,
right. Ananias and Sapphira, they both dropped dead. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Ananias and Sapphira were believers, but they lied to get to the Holy Spirit and God killed them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But at the same time, in Hebrews chapter 12, the author of Hebrews says that the Lord disciplines every child that he receives. Now, there is some debate about that. Is he talking about disobedient children that he disciplines, or is this discipline in a much more broad way? He disciplines faithful believers. He trains them up by putting them through difficulties mm-hmm. so that they will grow in their dependency mm-hmm. of the Lord or something like
that. So in other words, is that discipline in the sense of chastisement, or discipline in the sense of count it all joy when you go through various trials, for this has a perfecting processing for
and,
the believer?
And that's one of the issues with this question. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we define chastisement, you know, or the discipline of God? Is this talking about something that's good?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this, if we're looking for something bad to happen to the believer who is out of fellowship with the Lord, if we see, like, for example, cancer, okay, so Nick is saying, well, what if we see somebody who professes to be a believer, but he's living in gross immorality? We would expect him to get struck by cancer or something like that. But that could happen to a faithful believer.
I was about to say, you see this a lot when natural disasters strike as well. You know, recently, wasn't that long ago, that California got hit with all those fires. And it was really interesting to see the Christian world kind of respond to that, because there was a lot of folks arguing, well, this was God's wrath upon California. You know, those folks are immoral, whatever, you know, they would describe them as wicked. And so here's the display of God's wrath. But then you had the floods that happened in North Carolina, just like a few months before that. And everybody was saying prayers and, you know,
these are godly people.
And so it's the point being, it's very subjective when you get into this idea of chastisement or lack thereof and believer or unbeliever, and you're looking to these external things, well, believers can go through trials and unbelievers can be blessed in these material ways and be delivered from natural disasters or cancer. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of subjectivity to it that we got to be careful of.
And then also there's examples of believers who seem to sail through. Solomon. I mean, Solomon was one messed up individual at the end of his life.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know how many years that involved, but he marries all these foreign women, pagan women, and they lead him into idolatry. And from what we see in scripture, well, we know his kingdom wasn't taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
It was taken from his son, or at least the 10 northern tribes were. Mm-hmm. And Solomon seems to skate. But Solomon was a believer. And we can think, for example, Nicodemus. Nicodemus becomes a believer in John somewhere. Let's say he became a believer in John chapter 3. He's in the Sanhedrin. Everything is going great with him. It's not until Jesus dies that he comes forward. And if he had not come forward, there's no guarantee that he would have got struck with cancer or Alzheimer's or something like that. And so there are examples in the Bible of believers who we don't see this great disease hit them or a rock fall upon their head or something like that.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake, with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful Free Grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
I also think part of the question that Nick's asking, or the implication in his question, is that only believers are chastised by the Lord or experience punishment or cursings, I guess. But that's not accurate either. You know, if the argument is that if you're truly saved, you'll experience the chastisement as a proof of your salvation, the idea of fruit inspection, but in reverse, well, there's plenty of unbelievers who experience, again, you know, you look at the fires of California or the floods of North Carolina, that was certainly impacted a bunch of unbelievers as well as believers. So you look at that and we say, okay, unbelievers experience at least a certain degree of punishment and consequences as we live in a fallen world. They get cancer just as readily as the believer does. And so whether you're looking to the fruit of the believer for proof of salvation or the chastisement of someone for proof of salvation, both are looking to external things, which are
and you mentioned
problematic.
It's very subjective.
Yes.
And the other thing is the chastisement of God always occurs.
That's right.
In the believer who turns his back on God or lives immorally. But that chastisement can come in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we don't, if we're looking for the cancer, or we're looking for the failed business, or if we're looking for something like that, we don't know what's going on internally. You know, what struggles are they having? What lack of sleep, insomnia, you know, guilty conscience, whatever the case may be, there's ways that God can discipline somebody that is not obvious, and we may not see it. I mean, how many times have we heard of people who we think are everything is going great, and we find out later that their lives are just in the toilet?
Yeah.
You know, and even sometimes they commit suicide at the end of it or something. We don't know of the, to use this phrase, inner demons that a person might have that could be the chastisement of God.
I also, you know, GES is working on an Old Testament commentary, and I've been in the book of Isaiah. And one of the things that you're dealing with, Isaiah is very much dealing with the judgment of God upon the nation of among his people. And one of the things that you see with the Judeans is that because they are not listening to the Lord's prophet, you know, Isaiah specifically, they become hard of hearing. And it describes them as like they have the word of God. They have the scriptures, if you will, in their hands, but it becomes like a book in the hands of the illiterate.
Right.
And so they become desensitized to the point where they can't stand sound teaching at all.
And that's the chastisement of God.
Right.
And automatically we go to Romans 1, getting turned over to a depraved mind.
That's right.
Like, for example, let's just use a graphic example. Someone, a believer who gets addicted to pornography. We may never see that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see it. It's, you know, they'll say, well, this is
doors.
A private sin.
Mm-hmm.
But they go into deeper and deeper depravity and deeper things. And it costs them money. It costs them time. It may cost them. They might have had a wonderful relationship. If it's a man,
mm-hmm.
If they hadn't got into that, maybe they would have had a wonderful relationship with a young woman where he raised a family and all that. And all that's lost. Now, we don't see that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but in Romans 1, Paul talks about those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. He gives them over to a depraved mind. That's part of the discipline of God, the chastisement of God mm-hmm. in a believer's life.
It reminds me of when the Lord is speaking to the church at Laodicea, which was a very affluent, very wealthy place. And they think that, right? They think, oh, we're all that. I always like to say, you're all that in a bag of chips, right?
Right. And we would look at them and say, wow, they're not being chastised.
Right. They look like the Lord's blessing them. But then the Lord says, you're wretched, you're naked, and you're poor. And he's speaking.
And they don't even realize.
And they don't even see it because they're so self-sufficient in their materialism. And so, yeah, if you look to the materialistic things, you may think, oh, well, you know, they're doing great or the Lord's blessing them or, oh, they're not truly saved because the Lord. But their spiritual blindness is part of the Lord's chastisement, which honestly, in many ways, is scarier if you think about it.
Yeah, it would have been probably better if you would have gotten struck with cancer if it had caused you to repent.
That's right.
But of course, the Lord knows each individual. This is a great question, Nick. The bottom line, what Catherine and I are saying is the Lord disciplines his children, but he does it in many different ways. Sometimes we can't see it. And if a person believes in Jesus Christ for eternal life, he has it. He can never lose it. And we never know what discipline that person is going through. But it's a great question, Nick, and thank you. And until next time, remember,
keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you have a great weekend. Spend some time fellowshipping with other believers at a Bible teaching church. Come back and join us again on Monday. And keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.